The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And we're speaking of the UK. Some of them over there have gone absolutely jubilee mad, but not all. You might have seen being shared on social media this campaign to mark the jubilee by abolishing the monarchy. Make Elizabeth II Elizabeth the last. Well, Graham Smith is with the Reading-based campaign group Republic. Graham, you're very welcome to the show. Why would you like to see the monarchy abolished?
Yeah, good evening. Well, I mean, you know, the monarchy is undemocratic. The institution does not live up to the standards that you would expect of public institutions. And it is a central part of our constitution. And our constitution is pretty poor. I mean, we look to Ireland as an example of what we want, which is a parliamentary democracy. We would elect all of our parliament and elect our head of state. And we would be afforded, I think, a series of inspirational heads of state as you've had to have been able to enjoy over there.
When you say it's a central part of your constitution, it's a central part, though, as well, of your culture and identity, is it not, in the UK?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the polling, you know, most people are not interested in the Jubilee. Only 11% say they're very interested. Only 14% are going to do anything about it over the weekend. So, you know, most people are fairly indifferent. Now, there is, you know, the Queen is seen as the monarchy. The monarchy is the Queen. She's not going to be around for that much longer. And I think that, you know, this is why it says Elizabeth the last. It's kind of also a nod to people that like the Queen. Look, you know, that's going to come to an end. The monarchy without the Queen is not the monarchy that you like. So let's move on.
Oh, do you suspect maybe kind of support for the institution at the moment is just wrapped up in support for the person? That there's a genuine fondness for the individual who happens to be the monarch at the moment?
Well, to some extent, yeah. I think that, you know, even with the Queen on the throne, support has dropped over the last few years from 75% to 60%. We've seen a jump in support for abolition from around 20% to 27%. So even now, that, you know, there's a lot of shifting of opinion. People under the age of 30 are majority against the monarchy. Support in Scotland has dropped below 50%. So there is already a lot of shifting. Now, there's no way that King Charles is going to be able to turn that around. You know, if the Queen can't sustain that support, Charles definitely can't. So, but yeah, I mean, she is the one that gets the high polling ratings, and it's not. I think a lot of people take these high polling ratings and think, well, this is huge enthusiasm about the Queen. It's not. It's people think that she's done okay. She's done a good job. Mm. And, of course, she is her own benchmark. You know, people say, has she done a good job at being Queen? And she's the only Queen that people measure her by. So the answer is yes. But, you know, so Charles and William are a very different kettle of fish.
I mean, what do you say, though, Graham, to people who suggest, listen, she and the crowd, it doesn't really have any power anyway, so what harm?
Well, the thing is that the Crown has enormous power, but it's all handed over to the Prime Minister. And through the Crown and other failures in our constitution, we have a Prime Minister who, on the whole, you know, not right this minute with the current Prime Minister, but on the whole, if they've got a large acquiescent backbench, they control everything. They control the powers of the head of state, they control the powers of Parliament and the powers of government. There's no separation, there's no division of power.
So you'd like a separate problem. Kind of legislative power compared to the executive independent from Parliament? Like, that's because that's not really an Irish model, that's more a US model now.
No, that's not what I said. I said that we have a situation where we have it all fused together, where there's no, you know, the Parliament will do what the government tells us to do, the head of state will do what the government. There's no separation, there's no independence. Mm. So, you know, there is a role, for example, for Michael de Higgins. It's a limited role, but there is an independent role there for him to play if in certain circumstances, and there have been times in the past.
Very, very limited circumstances. I mean, a lot of people listening would suggest, you know, you're describing the Irish model when you say government, the executive, really have all the cards.
Well, there are, I think, there's still a... an upper house, there is still the opportunity for Parliament to disagree with the government, and if they do something which is against the Constitution, the Parliament, the President can decline to sign that law, so, you know, which has happened. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that we want to replicate Irish system. What I'm saying is that you've got a system which does work, which is democratic, and has no need for a monarchy, and we have no need for a monarchy.
Well, that is the case for abolishing the monarchy. Jenny Bond is a former BBC royal correspondent, of course. Jenny, it's always good to talk to you. Do you suspect Graham and his fellow travellers of any hope of abolishing the crown?
No, I don't think so. No, I've listened to Graham over the years, and they really have made very few inroads into the popularity of the monarchy. He's right to say that the latest YouGov poll does show a drop in popularity for the monarchy. It's gone down by about 10%, something like that. But it's still substantial, 61%. And the Republican movement always hovers around between 20 and 27%. So they're not making any inroads whatsoever. And what politician they would give their right arm to have a popularity rating of 60 or 70%, wouldn't they?
they certainly would. But what about Graham's point that a part of the popularity of the institution is actually just popularity of the person? That, you know, there's a real fondness for, you know, Elizabeth, the individual. And, you know, maybe when Charles is there and William and whoever happens to come next, I can't remember what William's oldest young fellow is called. Anyway, whoever George. Comes next, George, my apologies, George, that if they're less popular, they're maybe seen as more meddlesome and just, you know, a little bit more annoying, you know, maybe their popularity will decrease.
Well, that's a possibility, obviously. I just wonder if our current crop of politicians could be viewed better or fare better than the Queen or indeed Prince Charles. Prince Charles is very well recognised around the world. The Queen is hugely known globally. And I remember once doing a debate in which there was a large majority for a republic. And I put the point, actually, of can you name the head of state? And I mentioned Ireland. Can you name the head of state of Ireland or of Germany or of anywhere? And, you know, they sort of squirmed in their seats and they absolutely couldn't. The Queen has global recognition, and Charles is not that far behind. And given that our head of state is essentially a figurehead, essentially someone who flies the flag for our country around the world, I think Charles, in what will be necessarily quite a short reign, will do well. Not as well as the Queen, but he will do well.
There's an argument as well, isn't there, that, I mean, whatever about the constitutional issues and maybe misgivings people might have about the hereditary nature of the position and that entire culture it speaks to, that, I mean, just in terms of tourism, there's a value to having the Queen and the Crown. Isn't there? Bonnie Greer, who I'm sure would share a lot of the Republican sentiments of Graham Smith, making the point I saw online yesterday, that people don't come to England for the weather and the food.
No, I mean, they are a massive draw. I'm actually speaking to you from a cruise ship at the moment where I'm lecturing or talking, speaking about the royal family. I do a lot of that, and I cannot tell you how popular it is as a topic, not only amongst British travellers, but amongst the Americans in particular. They're crazy for our royal family. So, yes, it does bring quite a lot of revenue in that way. And then there's the whole argument that the Graham would put forward that they are very expensive. Well, yes, they do cost quite a lot of money. The Queen gets £82 million in a sovereign grant. But for example, I was looking up how much President Trump cost. His salary, yes, small. But you know, the report is that on his golf trips, the taxpayers had to pay $102 million for his golf trips. So, you know, presidents don't come cheap either.
So you think some kind of figurehead president, maybe after he kind of retires some parliamentary politics, President Boris Johnson in the future with all his trips off to play table tennis around the world might cost you an awful lot more than Her Majesty?
I think that's probably true. And I also think that by definition, a head of state, if he's elected, it's already a division, isn't it? I know some people don't support the monarchy, but the vast majority do. I think the division might be greater when you have essentially a political election for a president. If that was the will of the British people, I'm really not against it, but I can guarantee you, I think, that if we have a referendum tomorrow in the UK about whether we should maintain this system of a monarchy, I think the majority would say yes.
Well, I'm always amazed at how many people from the UK are listening to the show, a lot of them having relocated to Ireland down through the years. 53106. I'd love to hear your views on it. Jenny, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you again soon. And best of luck with the circuit, the cruise ship circuit, and the history and the cultural importance of the royal family. Jenny Bond is a former BBC royal correspondent, and Graham Smith is with the Reading-based campaign group Republic. Only an Irishman would get away with calling the third in line to the British monarchy William's oldest young fella. Yeah, I forgot his name for a moment. George, of course. Jenny corrected me, is the third in line to the throne. Like I said, keep this text coming. 53106. We'll have all your business news next.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.